5, Revelation 17, we're dealing with the information relative to the identity of this female that John sees in his vision, dressed like a harlot, all decked out, advertising what she is. And another clue is that verse 5, on her forehead, a name was written, a mystery. A mystery is something that's hidden. Doesn't mean it can't be revealed. Of course, doctrine is a mystery to negative volition. They don't get it. Try as you may. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, right. Must not be that too interesting, because you're not following up on it. So, a mystery is something that's hidden. God's plan is hidden from negative volition. Just understand that. I don't care how smart they are. I don't care to what kind of degrees they've got. I don't care. They're negative. And when they're negative, the truth doesn't penetrate that. Just a distorted picture of things to varying degrees. That's why there's a big, it's a big deal. You don't walk away from, you know, the environment God has set up for you, get face-to-face teaching and doctrine, and expect good things to come of it. What you have will be taken away from you. You will not be, in time, recognizable spiritually. You'll be questioning this and questioning that and embracing these different ideas. It's like what my pastor says, when you harden your heart to the truth, it's like you've got this vacuum in your soul, mataiotes, that's a Greek word, and you just start sucking stuff in. Foreign information. Boy, have I ever seen it with believers. It's like a sickness. When they walk away and stiff arm the truth, they're wide open, vulnerable. That's why we're to put on the whole armor of God in this fight we're in. Because if we let our guard down, we can be taken in by whoever. So, this is Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. She also spawns systems that are corrupt. It's like this harlot has babies, and their baby girls turn out to be just like their mother. Prostitutes. And of the abominations of the earth. We were dealing with the word mystery, and down on page 80 of your notes, down towards the bottom here, in Revelation, the word mystery is used in connection with the seven stars and the seven lampstands. The millennial age, 10:7. This is hidden from people on a wide scale, that the kingdom of God is going to come and be established on earth by Jesus Christ through all the events leading up to it that we're studying in Revelation. This isn't widely published. Or if it is published, it is truncated. They don't have all the stuff involved, as I've said over and over again. And if you don't have all the parts figured out, you can't put the puzzle together. You got bits and pieces over here. Is that good enough? No. You wouldn't want it for a recipe, and you wouldn't want it for an engine for your car. Is it won't work. In other words, by work, I mean put you in the driver's seat, so to speak, spiritually. It's also used in connection with the woman and the beast in which she rides. 15. With respect to the latter, the angel tells John that he will reveal the mystery of the woman and the beast on which she rides. A question about the syntactical function of mysterion, mystery, whether it is in apposition to name or part of the inscription on the woman's head is resolvable through a comparison with 14:8 and 18:2. The woman's name is Babylon the Great. That's your spiritual code name, I guess I could say. Now the headquarters for the final the current manifestation of it is Rome, Italy. Rome is a city, and then this enclave that's not a part technically of the city. It is physically, but not government ruled and done, is the Vatican. In Rome, the headquarters. So, the woman's name is Babylon the Great, not Mystery Babylon the Great. The noun has a parenthetical independence favoring the reading, an inscription written, which is a mystery. Here the mystery is to identify the entity, mother-son cult, with its corresponding evil, rank idolatry and superstition. The system had its beginnings on the plains of Shinar through the activities of Nimrod and his evil wife, Semiramis. Shinar is the Old Testament designation for southern Mesopotamia, the alluvial plain between the Euphrates and Tigris rivers. Get a map down and look these up. The Euphrates is a very famous river as rivers go, but in the Bible, it's a very famous. A lot has happened in connection with that river, and more to happen. Shinar is the Old Testament designation for southern Mesopotamia. I gave you that, sorry. The area was known by the Sumerians as Sumer and Akkad. It later became known as Babylonia. In two of the eight references to Shinar in the Old Testament, it is called Babylonia in the Septuagint, Isaiah 11:11, Zechariah 5:11. In Genesis 10:10, where in Genesis 10:10, where we are told that the great tyrant and empire builder Nimrod founded his kingdoms in Babel, Erech, Sumerian Erech, and Akkad, and Calna, in the land of Shinar. From there, he expanded his kingdom into what is known as Assyria. It was here in Shinar that rebellious men built the well-known Tower of Babel in defiance of God. This is this audacious, crazy, added thing that they could build a tower high enough, get this, to reach heaven, the throne of God. They weren't just going to build a skyscraper and a building to be tall and get up there on top of it and dance around and worship their gods. They were going to build it to heaven and assault heaven. This is the kind of maniacs that get turned loose under this satanic delusion. It's mind-boggling. We got so many in this country that are so delusional, it isn't even funny. They just make up stuff, do stuff. Nebuchadnezzar, he's one of my favorites of the Bible, because one, he's a Gentile. He's an empire builder. And two, he became a believer under the most unusual circumstances. He had something going for him that typical rulers did not have. But he had Daniel and his friends as a witness. And they weren't in his face every day telling him to get away from idolatry and believe in Jesus. They just let God work it out. And God worked it out and brought him to his knees, literally. And he turned his attention to the true God. being raised up in the paganism of Babylonia. Nebuchadnezzar removes vessels from the temple of God. That's when the southern kingdom fell under divine wrath. The Jews of the southern kingdom, the northern had been taken into captivity by Assyria about 130 years earlier. The southern kingdom went down to the prophet on the ground was at that time was Jeremiah. And Nebuchadnezzar knew about Jeremiah. Jeremiah appears as this traitor, undermining the morale of people, telling them that judgment is on the horizon. In fact, he was told at a certain point, don't even pray for these people. They're a lost cause. They're going into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar's going to come knocking. Amazingly, he never got martyred. He got stuck down in a well in the ground. But he makes some tremendous contributions. God, through him, made tremendous contributions with our understanding of prophetic information. Invaluable. Just on the topic of the USA and prophecy. Nebuchadnezzar removed some vessels from the temple of God. See, they destroyed that temple, Solomon's temple. They trashed it. To his temple in the land of Shinar, according to Daniel 1, verse 2. Those vessels would come into play at the end of the Babylonian kingdom when the final ruler went. See, that's what they would do. They would defeat other countries and they'd take stuff out of their temple, say our gods are superior to yours. That was the idea. And they would take sacred vessels and various things and plunder the other temples, take everything of value that was transportable, and destroy the place. And that's what they did to Solomon's temple. And there was a lot of wealth in Solomon's temple. You know, because when they built the second one, when they came back and it was finished, the old timers that had seen as young people Solomon's temple, they were disappointed that it didn't have the glamour of the Solomon's temple. No big deal. I mean, it serves its purpose. Yeah, he put these vessels in this temple in the land of Shinar, according to Daniel 1:2. And the last king got them out and was toasting their gods and celebrating. And that's when the handwriting went up on the stone wall. And that killed that part. That killed that party. And only Daniel could interpret it. He told him the truth. Basically, by this time tomorrow, you're history. You're all dead men. And he's an old man now, when he was just a young guy, when he came to Babylon. And he turned and walked out. The last king of Babylon was wanting to give him all this wealth. Keep it. I don't want it. Most people just fall all over themselves to get that kind of wealth. According to Isaiah 11:11, the land of Shinar is one of the places from which regathered Israel is brought back to the land of promise. So Shinar, or Babylon in Mesopotamia, is a place where this system, represented by this woman, originated. That's its historical roots. The deification of Nimrod. The deification of Nimrod. He's the child. You say, I thought he was an adult married to Semiramis. Yes, they want it both ways. It's nuts. It's not supposed to make sense. You start making sense of stuff, you'll walk away from it. The deification of Nimrod and the deification of Semiramis, mother goddess, after their deaths is the basis for the cult as it was spread around the earth. The great signifies the tremendous influence this system of evil has had over nations from antiquity to the present day. It's not great in the sense of a good sense. It's just great. It constitutes to this very day a gigantic system of moral and spiritual corruption, e.g. idolatry and superstition, unrivaled in the annals of man. The mother of harlots points to the replication of the system founded on the plains of Shinar. The replication of the system. I want to be sure I got that right. It spawned these other mother-son cults like in Egypt and wherever you wanted to run. Greece, name it. There was the mother-son cult, as we'll see in a point coming up, all the way to China. The mother-son cult. It was spread. So this cult found its way into the mainstream from the plains of Shinar among all nations, peoples, and languages. The mother-son cult found its way into the mainstream of empires and nations over the course of human history. It spread from Babylon to Egypt and from there to other nations. The nations founded as a result of the division of languages, tongues, were later introduced to the mythology of the mother, her special son, and her husband. Now, I know it doesn't make any sense that both her son and the husband are one and the same Nimrod. They don't have to make sense. It's crazy. It's confusion. It's contradiction. It's either his son or it's not. So the Madonna holding the child, that originates with Semiramis, and the child would have been Nimrod, except they were married, and they deified him at his death and her at her death. This was a common practice, to deify people after they died and worship and have a shrine to them or some dumb stuff like that. And they're just mortal men and women. And they die like the rest of everyone else. Look at all the extent to which pharaohs went to in their burial practices. Gee. They're going to take this into the afterlife. No, they go to hell just as quick as a commoner. So this seems the most likely way in which the cult was introduced to the nations. The Chaldean mysteries can be traced back to Semiramis, that beautiful but abandoned queen, who lived only a few centuries after the flood, who herself was a paragon of unbridled lust and immorality. She used her body to gain advantage. She had a hand in the formulation of this cult, in which after her death, she was worshipped as Rhea, the great mother of the gods, with the gross immorality as identified with Venus, Greek, the mother of all impurity. Excuse me. She raised the great city of the grand seat of idolatry and consecrated prostitution. The Chaldean queen is a fit prototype for the woman in the apocalypse, with the golden cup in her hand, intoxicating the nations far and near, and the name on her forehead, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Again, mother of harlots points to origin and to progeny. Babylon is the mother, and her daughters are sisters in evil around the earth, or daughters. In Egypt, the mother-son child was worshipped under the names of Isis and Osiris. In India, it is, I see an Iswara to this very day. In Greece, Irene, the goddess of peace, with the boy Plutos in her arms. In pagan Rome, as Fortuna and Jupiter the boy. And even in Tibet, China, and Japan, the Jesuit missionaries were astonished to find the counterpart of Madonna and her child as devoutly worshipped as in papal Rome itself. Xing Mu, the Holy Mother in China, being represented with a child in her arms and a glory around her exactly as if a Roman artist had set her up. There's your clues. Nothing original, technically. It's just dressing it up different and adding your little aside stuff. But the main course is the same. Wherever you go. Did you learn this in your history class in college or high school? Compared to what I hear, I don't know. I had pretty good teachers with regard to ancient history stuff. I had some good stuff. I took Latin. I had an elderly female woman who taught Latin, and we translated. And I'm a sophomore. We translated Julius Caesar's Gallic Wars. And I took ancient civilization. Now the science stuff, the theoretical science stuff, that all sucked. But I didn't know any better. I didn't know how to ask hard questions. I just bought the stupid system, evolution, Darwinism, and the likes. I just bought into it. I didn't say, this doesn't make any sense. If you know anything about the natural world and living creatures and their interdependence and how complicated they are you paying attention? That just can't work its way up a ladder. And the species survive. No way. Jeff was telling me out when he was out of high. When he was before he went to the high school here locally, it was after one of their science classes, and they had this thing on the wall showing it going from a monkey up to a man, Neanderthal and everything. All the kids are out of the room except the teacher, and he says, "Do you believe that? Do you believe that?" Pointed at that, and the teacher put her head down. But you're teaching the crap, aren't you? You're teaching children a big fat lie. You're not just presenting it as, well, this was a theory and this is what some people think. What do you think of it? It's presented like dogmatic. And they said that they did the same thing to me with regard to the, quote, solar system. And the Big Bang Theory. And nothing created everything. And an explosion created all this sophistication. And it's still expanding. But I wasn't a Christian. I didn't have any sound doctrine. And I didn't have somebody pointing out the obvious. But so many of us are herd bound. We don't want to be looked at as different. Then what are you doing here in Maranatha Church? You're different. Doctrine has changed you. You're not of the, you're in it, but you're not of the cosmos thinking system. Hopefully, you don't share all their enthusiasms and all their rah rah rah. They got all these misplaced priorities. I know. I always realize I'm a voice in the wilderness. calling whoever God puts in front of me to the truth. Verse 46, it is of interest to note that according to Kennedy's Hindu mythology, page 49, that though Iswara is the husband of Isis, he is also represented as an infant at her breast. 47, Baal was the name of the great male divinity in Babylon and among the Canaanites. We see him prominent in the Old Testament, Baal worship. So the female was called Beltis. This name found in Nineveh is applied to mother of the gods. Beltis is equivalent to Baal T, which in English is my lady, in Latin, Mia Domini, and in Italian, the corruption of the well-known Madonna. In Greek, this queen of heaven is Hera, also designated the lady. In the Attic dialect, her name is Athena, as in Athens, Greece. The Catholic Madonna and the pagan goddess are both designated Queen of Heaven. Jeremiah 7, 18, 44, 17, 18, 19, 25. There's a song in a Catholic hymnal. I saw it. I walked into one of them when we visited New York back in the day. I just want to see the environment. They got their little deal with all their lighting candles for the dead over here. And the rest of it. And there's a hymnal right in front of me. And what, I flip it open? Imagine singing a song to the Queen of Heaven. In the propaganda, the world is her seat, dominion, which represents to the prophetic imagery a woman sitting on many waters. The cult within the nations amounts for that part of the title on her forehead, the mother of harlots. The abominations refers to all the idolatrous practices with their attendant immoralities and superstitions and all of it, all of it. Isn't it going to be great? This stuff's going to be wiped off the earth, eliminated in the coming of our Lord. No more. If people even wanted to think about it, idolatry is going to be forbidden completely. So the abominations now refer to the doctrines of demons. See 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. And practices of Roman Catholicism that in large part were expropriated from pagan religion. The high priest of paganism is now the office of the Pope, Pontifex Maximus. He is said to seat in St. Peter's chair and is the supreme authority over all Christendom. He is said to be infallible in matters of doctrine and faith. The doctrine of salvation by works is seen in the seven sacraments again. The Mass is a corruption of the Lord's table, where the blood and body of Christ are said to be literal under the doctrine of transubstantiation. Idolatry is further seen in the worship of the cross and relics. The system is at total odds with what we find in the New Testament canon. The worship of Mary and the doctrine of perpetual virginity is well known. Via this system, Satan has hijacked the scriptural teachings that go back to the Garden of Eden of a coming Messiah, the seed of the woman, which was the only faith on earth immediately following the flood. The ringleaders of this apostasy were Cush, father of Nimrod, Nimrod, and Semiramis. All were deified and adopted by the nations around the earth, each adopting it to their particular cultures. Babylon, or Babel, is the polluted fountain out of which this idolatry arose. Even the worship of sun, moon, and stars was the story of this evil trinity. Catholicism is the morphing of the ancient idolatry, using biblical names to fool the masses. The Catholic Church currently, historically, believes in evolution. is my understanding. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'll retract it. They don't believe in fiat creation. They've bought the fake science stuff too. This made it easy for pagans to convert to this form of Christianity. Oh, well, hell, this isn't a whole lot different than what we had, honey. It's just different names, and hey, I can just hear them. This made it easy for pagans to convert to this form of Christianity, as they had to give up little to keep their favorite practices running and up and going like Christmas. Saturnalias. The final big party before the big bad winter comes. Let's decorate trees with finery and exchange gifts and do a lot of feasting, because winter's coming. And Christian missionaries, so-called, allowed the pagans to rename this Christ's Mass. Christ and then Mass. Catholics go to church to do their communion called Mass. So Christ's Mass. So that's what you're saying when you say Merry Christmas. All right. Well, play it by ear. My phone says it's going to start raining Tuesday and just rain for days after that. We'll see. I try not to cancel, but I did last week. Be that as it may. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.